did a little introduction with this tabernacle, really getting ourselves ready for Pesach and really internalizing it and making sure that we are focused and that we're ready, that we're a part of that story. And so I think, as we talked about last week also in the introduction, how many people in here, your lives are busy? Everybody should have your hands up, and it's just busy. I mean, life is busy, it's busy. And if we're not careful, we'll just come sliding into Shabbat about right before sundown every Friday. Because that's what happens if we allow ourselves to get into this routine. But we can also do that to the feast. And it's my job as a pastor and part of the fivefold ministry to help us be prepared whenever we go into Pesach, that we don't go into Passover and we have a meal, we do the Seder, and we have the fellowship, and then you just say, okay, that one's done, now let's go to the next one. That's not what this is about. This is about us internalizing us. And, you know, me and Bobby was talking about it earlier. You know, and I was telling Bobby, I said, Bobby, you know, where you're at your age right now, there was people that came out of Egypt your age. Imagine yourself on that journey. Rico did a teaching one time, and he was saying this, that whenever they were sitting there in the mud pits, they were doing this all day long, making what? Straw and bricks. They were making the straw and the mud, making the bricks. And so they did this how long? All day long. Hebrew aerobics, getting you ready for the journey. Strengthening their legs, because if you slowed down, you felt a sting on your back. And it was a whip to pick it back up and get it moving. The Father knows that even during hardship, how to prepare us for a journey, to be able to make a journey that would come out of Egypt. So I just encourage every one of us, no matter where your age, just think about, we just say some of you families that have 8 or 10 or 12 or 42 children. And so imagine what it would be as a mother. I'm just glad Stephanie don't have more than two, because she would really be nervous about making a journey. Where's my children? Where's this one? Where's this one? And then she would be talking to her mom and dad. You need to, where's your eyes? Get a set of eyes. But that's some of us are, you know, we want to know where our children are. And you can imagine coming out of Egypt with about 2 to 4 million people. And it's nothing but a cloud of dust. But this is what this season is about. Where would you be? How would you be? How would you prepare to make that journey? That's what retelling the story is really all about. With that said, I'm wanting to use the tabernacle, because the first thing you come to before you ever get into His presence is the brazen altar. So I wrote down here, last week we talked about this section right here. There's for the priest, and we are a kingdom of priests. Amen? And I'm going to read that in just a moment. But in this, garments, consecration, and behavior is the utmost importance. We are to put on our garments. We're going to talk about that, what Revelation says that is, in just a moment. Consecration, it's about us getting ourselves ready. Even before the Torah was given, it said 3 days they had to get themselves ready, wash, clean, change their garment before the Torah was given to them on the mountain. Consecrate. We need to consecrate ourselves. He told the men, stay away from your wives for these days. Set yourself apart. Get ready for this time of giving of the Torah. Behavior. How is our behavior? Behavior has a lot to do with it. How are we going into it? What's our mindset? What are we thinking about? Are we just doing this as a checkoff list? If it's not, I tell you, our garments are soiled. We're not consecrated as we get ready. So it's very important. Now, in Hebrews last week, let's go to Hebrews 10, 19 and 20. I just want to read this again. Hebrews 10, 19 and 20, and it says this, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter into the holy places, not just the holies of holy, or the holy place, but also the holies of holies, by the blood of Yeshua. And it says, by a new and living way. In other words, it's not by bull and goats anymore, but it's of the blood of Yeshua, that He opened up through the curtain, and that is through His flesh. Now, this is what we talked about last week. If you notice on this drawing up here, or on this PowerPoint, here's the brazen altar. You had to bring your altar. See my little red dot there? Ain't that amazing? Am I nervous? Who's shaking? Is that me? Okay. So what you have is you had to bring your sacrifice first, and then it had to be offered up, had to be slain. then you had to go through a washing. The priest had to go through a washing to be able to take your sacrifice through this curtain, which is into the holy place, and right here to the altar of incense, where he would put it, put the blood and everything on this, and he would make atonement. There was a curtain here. This curtain kept the priest from the presence. And only once a year did Aaron get to go in here. Moses was able to go in there when he was called. Okay? But today, what I'm saying is there is prayer and worship before the glory would come down and his presence would fall. That's what really this is about in this teaching. So in this scripture here, we talked about this. You had the holies of holies, you had the curtain, and you had the holy place. We are today are a kingdom of priests. This is what Peter talked about. Even in Revelation, it talks about we are a kingdom of priests. We are to minister before Yahweh. That's what our business, this is what we're called to do. If you think you're called to be a plumber, you're wrong. If you think you're called to be an engineer, you're wrong. If you think you've been called to be an electrician, you're wrong. You've been called to serve your king. You have been called to worship and serve your king. We've been made into his image. I've not been made in the image of a lightning bolt, so I'm not an electrician, okay, like that. That's not what that's about. We have jobs. We have a way, like they were farmers, and they were animal, you know, for goats and sheep and animal husbandry, if that's the way to say it, okay? Plant husbandry and animal husbandry and tree husbandry, or what all these things are, okay? This is what was how they sustained their life, but their job was to honor them. Israel was called to be a light to what? The nations. We are called to be a light to the nations. There's a lot of unsaved people here that need the light of Yeshua in their life. That's our first calling. Our first calling is not what we do. It's who we are. Amen? So what happens is so how do we get here? How do we, because there was a curtain between man and Yahweh. That's what he's saying here by the blood of Yeshua. And then he says, he opened the way through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. You don't have to turn here, just write it down. John 2:19 said this, Yeshua told them that day when they was arguing with him, when he first showed up on the scene early in John, he says, Yeshua answered and said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And that's what he's talking about, the temple of his flesh. You destroy this temple, and I'll raise it up. That's why this scripture is so important, that we don't have a mindset of a literal curtain. That we have the mindset that Yeshua is our high priest. He is the one who's sitting at the right hand of the Father. This curtain is taken down. You have his blood applied, you can enter into his glory. That's what this is about. We have to have the proper. But what if we're backslidden and we're in sin? We can still repent, but we still have to go to him in whose name? In Yeshua's name. So we never will be out without needing Yeshua in anything in our life. Okay, because he paid it all, he did it all, and he took the beating. You know, I never watched the movie that The Passion of the Christ. I've only seen part of it. If I can, I'm going to watch that. Because I need to understand the reality of what Yeshua went through for me. It's really sad because, I mean, I know that there's a whole set of emotions that go with that. But guys, we need to understand. Because for all of us who's been in this walk, from Baptist to Assembly of God to Worldwide Church of God to Episcopalian, Catholic, all the way, and now we're in Hebrew Roots, and that's not the end point. We're still growing and to being made more and more in his image. All I'm saying is life's got too much stuff in our way. It's just so much going on. I'm trying to sit back and imagine the day. I mean, we hadn't had electricity very long. You can imagine back in the day whenever they were in the wilderness or even they were in the promised land. They didn't have TV. They didn't have movie theaters. They didn't have drive-ins. They didn't have all this stuff. You know, they had a lot of preparation just to get everything they needed out of their fields and all of that to make the journey to Shiloh where the tabernacle stood. Amen. To offer up their Pesach. And you know what? They enjoyed it. They enjoyed it so much that even during Yeshua's day, he was left behind in the temple, you know, or in the, you know, temple for what, 12 days or a couple of days when they realized that he wasn't with them. Stephanie would have stroked that day. Amen. Where's Asher? I can't believe 2 days, mama, you know. I'm just saying that it's really amazing that you know that they look forward to these times. We need to always remember, I look forward to every Shabbat. I look forward to every feast and festival. But if we can get so busy, what happens is we just show up in here and it's just part of what we do. Now, you got to understand something. I'm talking about preparation. We've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit here. This is the last couple of years, fruit of the Spirit. If you don't have the fruit of the Spirit operating in your life, forget the manifestations of the Spirit. Okay? You ain't got to worry about prophesying and all of that if you got dirty garments on. Fruits of the Spirit, we need to be operating in that. Then from there, you can allow the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, the manifestations of the gift, operate through. That's the power gifts. When we laid hands on Brianna to be healed in Yeshua's name, she needs to be healed in Yeshua's name. But not only that, all of these other testimonies of these little ones that's got tumors behind it, there's so much sickness. You got this virus that's sitting over there in China that's rolling out and it's getting all over the world. The thing about it is, guys, you can't do anything about that. If Yahweh lets the locust loose, the locust is coming. You better be prepared to know where you are in your life to be able to deal with the locust. Because the pattern in the Scripture has always been, is there one world government? Yes, amen to that. And there's a one world church too. And the problem is a lot of people don't understand what that's about. And there's a one world politician system. There's a one world economic system. Dennis can tell you a lot about it if you want to be able to listen to. He understands what's going on behind the scenes in some of these areas. But guys, this is where we live. And if you don't have this, you're going to be in trouble when all the testings and the trials come. This is what I'm saying. It's fine to know and to understand, but to know that it's coming don't help you. Casey, I'm going to borrow this for a second, if you don't mind. I look good. Humor me a little bit. That's better. But I can't play this thing. See, there's a lot of people saying the right thing, and they're taking pictures with the right stuff, but they're not walking it out. And when there has to get time to where you got to play it, I will promise you, I will exit this room if I started trying to play this. No, I ain't going to do this. I need y'all here for a little while longer. But you see what I'm saying? That's the big difference of trying to look good holding a trumpet and being able to play it and to make music come out of that. That's what we're talking about. Too many people look like believers, but they're not. I'm so excited about the testimony because I can tell you about, you know, when Arnold was talking about Lee. Lee was a hard man. I only knew him for a little while, but I understood when I knew him where he came from. But the thing about it is, if he could go back and do it over, but guess what? He can't. But he would tell every one of us, don't make the mistakes that I made. Don't live, because you know what? It's not a given that you're going to make the right decision. Because, see, here's the thing with Lee. Lee started off with a rough life. He found Yeshua later. You find Yeshua and walk away from him, you may not find your way back. There's something called a reprobate mind that happens to people that they think they're okay and they're just not. And that's just the way that is. So, with that, let's go to Revelation. Tammy, if you would read Revelation 1, 4, 5, and 6. All it's going to say here is that we've been freed by his blood. I just want to show you that we are a kingdom of priests.
John, to the 7 congregations that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the 7 spirits who are before his throne, and from Yeshua Messiah, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood And he has made us to be a kingdom priest to his Elohim and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. So we are a kingdom of priests. Let's go to Revelation 12, 17. Now, I've got them up here, so I'm going to go here next, and then probably if I'm going on script, I'll go right through here. In case you miss one, the reason I didn't have this last week, and I guess that's why we did an introduction. This all came for today. But it was the Father just put me on check to bring this. Then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her offspring. Now the question is, who is the offspring? And it tells you, those who do what? Keep the commandments of Elohim and hold fast to the testimony of Yeshua. And he stood on the sands of the sea. So the first thing is hello, offspring. This is talking about you. This is talking about me. It's talking about the dragon. He became furious. It didn't say that he was going after the ones who hold to the Torah or the ones who hold to Yeshua. He says he's going after the ones that holds to both. It's the offspring of the woman, and the woman is Israel. He's ticked off because he couldn't get the man child. So now he's going to throw his venom in this day towards the offspring. Let's go to Revelation 14, 12. Revelation 14, 12 says this: here is a call for the endurance of the saints. Now I want to stop right there. The endurance of the saints, and this is what we have to look at right now in our life, where we are. This is a time of preparation. Every year is a time of preparation. Sometimes bad things happen, and I can't explain it, but they do. And we have great loss that happens to us in our life. But the Father is able, by His grace and mercy, to get us through these rough times. We lose loved ones, and things happen, and it's just part of life. And there is just no explaining it. But things do, but He knows because He's in control. He's in control of everything. He tells us that we see dimly through, like looking through smoke through dimly looking in a glass. You're just not going to know everything. But the thing is He's asking us that we need to trust Him and everything that happens and comes our way. So this word endurance, first of all, endurance is the ability to withstand hardship and adversity. Also, it's the ability to sustain a prolonged, stressful activity. Let it sink in, because see, here's the thing. We showed a little animated cartoon up here months ago or whatever with Tyndale, who ended up writing most of the scripture in English when it was all in Latin or Greek. Remember that? We saw this, those here. And the thing about it is he went in and he ran and he ran and he ran and he ran trying to write this, and it would take him sometimes days to interpret one verse. And he was so excited, and he had so much joy that he got one more verse, because he believed that we needed this in English. He believed that the people needed it in English. But think about this. Who persecuted him and who burned him at the stake and choked him? The church. The Christians. The believers. We're going to read a scripture here in just a minute. John in Revelation saw this and he marveled. There was a commentator it was Walorovh or something. I don't know how to say his name. Walvoord. There you go. You know him. Okay, Dutch. There you go. Walvoord. He made a statement about that, and that's what he understood that scripture to be, and I'm going to read it here in just a moment. But see, I just wanted to throw this out here because, guys, you got to understand, persecution don't come from the boogeyman. Persecution can come from the very Bible-believing people that call us all brothers and sisters. But you got to understand, there is a one-world government. There is a one-world religion. And there's a one-world economic system. And the thing is, they all work together. Right now, they're not all joined together. They got bits and pieces, but one day they're going to get linked up. And when they get linked up, then it's going to be on, because then they're all going to be in agreement. If you don't know anything, and I know most people probably haven't been following the impeachment setup that's been going on, of how this, the United States of America, is divided. It is flat divided. It is partisan all the way down to the core. Okay? And guess what? It ain't going to get better. You can elect Captain Kangaroo, and he ain't going to make it better. Amen? He just ain't, because it is so divided to where people now are just, if you're not going to, we can't agree to disagree anymore. This is where we're at. But understand this, this is the Father's doing. He's trying to wake us up because he's tired. I didn't say he's tired. He doesn't get tired. Well, I guess he does. He gets, what can we say? He gets weary. He gets fed up. Yeah, we can just say that. He gets fed up. Our cup of sin is about running over. He's getting fed up with this. He give us opportunity, opportunity, opportunity. But people aren't changing. They grab the trumpet and they look good, but they ain't learning how to play it. They're not learning what it takes. I talked to Ben the other day when we were talking about it. I said, how long did it take you to learn to play the piano? How long did it learn to take you to be able now to have three tiers up there? And before, whenever Torrington was learning, we had him muted because he didn't know the bass yet. Ben's playing the piano with one hand and the bass with the other. I don't know how his brain is split. Or maybe he doesn't know he's doing it. I don't know. But the thing is, but he didn't learn that overnight. He practiced. And he practiced. And he what, Sandra? He practiced. And every waking moment, he went back in the room. And what did he do? He practiced. And so what I said, and it's not a bad reflection on Ben, I'm the same way. Do we read and study and pray like we practice? And the answer for everybody in here is going to be probably no. You see what I mean? That's what it takes to put in here, because he has a passion. The Father is saying we need a passion for him and his word the same way. We need for whatever we're learning to play. Amen? That's what this message is about. To know, because look, when the end times, when it rolls on you to where, what if the Father, this coronavirus is going around, what you going to do if it hits the United States like it's hitting China, other than run around with a mask on, looking like we're all robbers or all doctors? You know what I'm saying? We're going to look one way or the other with a little mask on and nurses. But you see what I'm saying? If fear grips you, there shouldn't be any fear to grip us for that. Because we should be sealed in Yeshua. Whatever's happening, are we believers or are we not? Are we alive with him? We need to, because people are going to be, I'm telling you, they got pandemonium in China right now. And they got a lot more people than we do. But there's pandemonium. And they're starting to be pandemonium here, because now they're blocking airlines from dropping off people. And then if they drop you off, you're going to go to a military base for a while, for about 14, yeah, quarantine day, 14, whatever it is, days to make sure. Guys, we already know that the four altar judgments, pestilence and disease is one of them. The sword and the beast is the other one. The Father's always used them. He's using them in Revelation, and he's going to use it in the end time. He doesn't have to drop a nuclear bomb on everybody. He doesn't need a Tomahawk missile. All he can do is just mutate a germ, and we're in trouble. We're scrambling to try to get ahead of it. So the thing about it is he can eat your crops before you figure out how you can get an antidote, is what I'm saying. First of all, we know that bad times are coming. Preparation is operating in here, because no matter what happens to you, peace, joy, and shalom and love, you better have it first. Because we should never be in panic mode, is really what I'm saying. And if we're in panic mode, we just need to take our temperature. Okay, so it says it hit the call of the endurance. Are we able really to withstand hardship and adversity? That's what it's saying here. Here's a call for the endurance of the saints. Hello, saints. Those who keep the commandments of Elohim and have their faith in Yeshua. There's a remnant that he's talking about here. This is really what he's talking. A remnant is a piece of a garment. The whole body of Messiah is not who he's talking about here. Okay, let's go to Revelation 19:8. Revelation 19:8, and it says this. It was granted her to clothe herself. Okay, so we have a part in it. He gives us the clothing. He gives us this book. He gives us his Torah. He gives us Yeshua. And now he's going to say, clothe yourself. I'm going to tell you how to do it. It says, it was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is what? The righteous deeds of the saints. So when you do his word and when you walk out his word, you're putting righteousness on. He is the righteousness. You take your righteousness, which is filthy rag, you get rid of it. Don't even try to wash it. You can't get the stains out of it. Shout it out. All of that ain't going to work. Take his righteousness when you do it. Now, what do? When you walk out the Torah, when you're doing what the Torah tells you to do, you're covering yourself in his right. That's the righteous deeds. That's what we're to do. I'm afraid too many times, like I said, I'm putting this in perspective of what's coming down the line. You better have the right clothing on, because when all hell breaks loose, if you got on the wrong garments, you're just sunk. And it might not be time for you to figure out how to get these garments. The Father knows how to put darkness in Egypt and light in Goshen. And he knows how to be able to bring the first plagues of Egypt. That's why the story's so important. It affected everybody. I was talking with Tammy. She was talking about the locust, which was the eighth plague. Now, it affected Goshen. But what did it do? The crops wasn't the Israelites anyway. It ate up all the crops. Because the land of Egypt, it was the land of Egypt. These locusts still, even the Israelites were here and they had their crops, the locusts still ate it up. Because the Egyptians would have done what anyway? All our stuff's gone. Richard, I'm coming to get yours. So the thing about it is, it doesn't do you any good to have a bunch of crops somewhere and everybody else is starving. Where are they coming? They coming to get your corn. And how many bullets do you have? Not enough. Not when you have a lot of people hungry. So you have to know that in the wilderness, the Father did something. What the Father did, and you have to understand this, he put fear into the nations. And he says, I don't care what happens to you, don't mess with these people. You mess with these people, you won't even get out of the starting gate before I kill you. That's what happens. When we are properly clothed and we are consecrated and our behavior is right, there's a dome over you. There is a dome of his presence over you, and he will put fear into the nations. Now, I'm not saying that we're going to see there's going to be some martyrs in this whole picture. But Tyndale was a martyr. There have been plenty of people that died for the faith to be able to give us what we needed to have. Amen? But not all of us is going to be a Tyndale, or there wouldn't be any believers left. There still has to be somebody left to give light to the nations. But there are people called to be martyrs. Okay, so don't think everybody's going to get burned up. Where are we at? Okay, Revelation 16:6. Revelation 16:6 says this. It says, for they have shed the blood of the saints and the prophets. Now the question is who is they? And that's the nations. The nations had shed, they have shed the blood of the saints and the prophets. And it says, and you have given them blood to drink, and it is what they deserve. Now think about this. This really, I had to ponder this scripture. They have shed blood of the saints and the prophet, and you have given them blood to drink, and it is what they deserved. What I understand this is saying is this. We try to give the nations water to drink. We try to give them water to drink. And what do they end up doing? They end up killing the saints and the prophets. By doing that, they're, instead of drinking the water that we're giving them, they're now drinking what? Blood, because they're killing the saints and the prophets. And guess what their reward is? They get what they deserve. They get death. And they're not only going to get death, they're going to get a spiritual death. This is what that, and this is what John the Revelator was seeing from the revelation of Yeshua. So you're going to see that where saints and prophets have always, the Torah tells us many times that there's been many prophets that has been killed for the gospel's sake. You go and say, I want you to go to this king and give him a good old passionate word he ain't going to like and see what happens. And a lot of times what happened? They kill the prophets. They kill the messenger. Somebody had to go. So I'm just telling you, it ain't fun to be a prophet. Because usually when you're a prophet, he's not running around and telling you the niceties of life. He's usually telling you that you're in sin and you need to change. You need to clean up your act. And sometimes when people are in charge, what do you think would happen? I go up there, say Wednesday, to the Senate. That's where they're all at doing this impeachment thing. And I just go up there and just tell them, thus saith Yahweh. You think they're all going to be excited? Give me the left foot of fellowship. Kick me out. Straight jacket. Leavenworth. Area 51. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying. You better know that thus saith the Father tells you something before you go popping up into place. Because guess what? You can tell them the truth, and you'll end up in Area 51 where the other aliens that are here or wherever they are. You see what I'm saying? You just better know. These people, this is a one-world system. But you know what Paul already told us? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. That's the problem. If you're going to wrestle against flesh and blood, you're defeated. It's principalities and powers. Because guess what? You can kill flesh and blood, and somebody else is going to pop up in flesh and blood, because that demonic spirit's going to jump right into that one. And they're going to keep rolling with their plan. So if you think you can kill all the flesh and blood you want to, you can't kill enough to get rid of everything. Cain and Abel, two brothers, one's blessed, one's a murderer. That's how close this thing can get. Esau and Jacob, it just shows you this is how close things can get. And your own family members, people that you don't even think would turn you over, will turn you over. Revelation 17:6 says this, and I saw the woman drunk with blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Yeshua. And when I saw her, they marveled. That's what I was telling you there, that Walvoord, this is that part where he was talking about, and I marveled greatly, is because when he said he saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and the martyrs of Yeshua, this was like the Tyndale situation. This is where the very body of Messiah is turning over those who have the testimony of Yeshua and the keeping the commandments, the Torah. And this is why you're marveling, because you would expect the heathen to do this. But to turn around and see, and we've already seen this happen. History shows us this has happened. And it's going to continue. It's happening now, and it's going to keep happening again. Religion is a powerful force. And the head of that religion is a powerful individual. Just like if it's a one-world government where there's a leader, because you still have an Antichrist or an Anti-Messiah to show up, the beast and the false prophet. You still have this. Now, whether it's maybe a individual or group, I'm not totally sure. I've heard it all different ways. All I know is as this thing unfolds, it shows you what's happening. Okay, so just know here, you heard it first. Ain't no need to marvel. if the church turns you in. Because the thing is most of the church, as we know it, we don't need that Old Testament. We don't need your food laws. We don't need your Sabbaths. We don't need your feast. We got our Christmas and Easter, and we got all of our stuff. So we don't need it. We got our catfish and our shrimp. So we don't need you. Take your business somewhere else. That's really what this is going to be. And if you think that it's going to come down, it's going to be an affront. How many times did Moses take the heat for what Yahweh was doing? Like every time. Korah came against Moses. Who are you really coming against? Yahweh. Who died and made you boss? I think you got something going on. You got Moses, you got Aaron, you got your sister. It's a family thing. You got a family religion going here. Korah saying, I need to be a part of this. Won't you give me some of the stake in this? You know, we're all holy. We're all set apart. We've been all sanctified. You see what I mean? They're not coming against me and you. They're coming against this book. And if you represent this book, if you got this going on, you're in the crosshairs. Revelation 18:20 says, rejoice over her, O heavens, and you saints and apostles and prophets, for Elohim has given judgment for you against her. Now, at the end of the book, you're starting to see the tide turn. And now you're starting to see hope for the saints and the apostles and the prophets, for now judgment is now starting to fall on those who are persecuting. 18:24, it says, and in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all who had been slain on the earth. Revelation 20. We'll go to verse 7 and go through verse 10. And when the 1,000 years were ended, Hasatan will be released from his prison. Now, we talked about this months ago. Now, think about this. If we're in this 1,000-year period, and if we're going through this period to where Yeshua is ruling and reigning, and life is good, like right now, this is the way I sort of painted it. Right now, you got about 90% sin problem in this world and about 10% good. So during this 1,000-year reign, he's going to get rid of Hasatan for this season. So now you're going to have probably about 98% good and about 2% people struggling. Could you imagine not having Satan, Hasatan, or any demonic forces, any fighting in your life? Can you just amen to that? Can you just imagine how our lives would be? How our lives, the joy that we would have. A lot of times we struggle to have joy through adversities. But here there's no adversity. But yet at the end of this time, and you can sit here and, guys, I'm just telling you like it is. Even during that time where they had it, Yeshua ruling and reigning and all of this stuff going on, they had this going on, but they started relaxing on this. Because here's the reason why I say that. It's hard for me to understand, but I'm going to read it. When the 1,000 years are ended, Hasatan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations. The very nations that's been killing the saints and the prophets all of these times and drinking their blood. But now the nations has gotten their act together. They've been doing good. They've been in peace all of this time. But yet now he's going to come out to deceive the nations that are at the four corners of the earth. So that's sort of like where? Everywhere. Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. Their number is like the sands of the sea. It tells you about how many? A lot. Or more than a lot. And they marched up over the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. But then what happened? But fire, look up here at this, right up here. I'm going to put my little finger right. You see the presence? Out of this presence is where that fire comes. It descended and it ascended. Incense offering. But the fire came down from heaven and consumed them. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were. They had already been cast in there before this time. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So in this teaching, what I wanted to show and share with everybody, we're in a fight. But our fight is not carnal. Our fight is spiritual. And if we can't understand what this means right here in our life, you will lose the battle. You will lose these fights. Because it should not matter. And I've said this before. I've heard people, I meet people on the street. I say, hey, how you doing? Blessed and highly favored. You know, they give me this long thing. I'm ready to meet Jesus. Well, when you give them the opportunity, then they're not so anxious. So they're like, man, I spoke too soon. All I'm saying is what are we saying, and are we really honorable? Because really and truly, if that person was really truly, if that gun come out, he'd grab that barrel and say, go ahead, I want to meet Jesus. You know what I'm saying? But you will see when that happens to people, they'll drop down, they'll start, oh my goodness. Are we ready to meet our Maker? Because the thing about it is, a twinkling of an eye is fast and it's quick, because none of us know our time. None of us know our time. We need to be ready. So whether we're alive and remain, we need to be ready. Because we definitely don't know whenever we're going to leave and check out. We need to be ready at the resurrection. Amen? So all I'm saying is, and I know you have to edit that, but I just want to give you the picture in your mind, not to be ugly, but really to try to give you a picture of, are we ready? Because there's a lot of people I know, used to be one of them, a lot of us was trying to get ready from the physical and from the back end and getting ready from the Y2Ks and all that other kind of stuff, okay? Trying to get ready from the back end in the physical, Connex boxes, 42,000 things of toilet paper, because you definitely... A special Connex box for Tammy's makeup, you know that, and stuff like that, hair products. Yeah, no, ain't no Connex box. Ain't no tote, baby. We talking end times. We talking Connex box. We ain't talking no tote, okay? So what I'm saying is and a pink Connex box, too. That way she know which one's hers. Amen. But really and truly, we need to be ready spiritually. Because he's the one, because if there's no food, he's going to give you manna. And if there's no water, he's going to pull it out of a rock. We have the example in the Torah that he will take care of his people. If we're prepared on this end, he's going to do his part. He always has done his part. And that's the beauty of this thing, is we don't need to worry so much. Because I don't know how much toilet paper you can buy. And how much paper towels. If you really, because I know, I have a relative I love very dearly that has places that's loaded with this stuff. You know what I'm saying? And the thing about it is, you get so much, you don't even know where it's at. You don't even know. You got to have a vault just for inventory to figure out which one's got what in it. We got canned goods and goods, and we got goods, and did I say good? We got antibiotics, and we got biotics and antibiotics. We got everything. But I'm just saying, prepare, always prepare. Always prepare. That is not what I'm saying. But if you're not prepared this way, all that other stuff is not going to help you. It has to be here. Because I promise you, he can feed us. And he can give us water. And I can guarantee you, because how many times did he give cities into Israel's hands? And he gave cities into Israel's hands, and guess what was in the cities? Everything they needed. And when they took over, then they had fields. I'm telling you, Yahweh knows how to put fear in the nations. Yahweh knows how to send people packing. And you can just move right on in, ready to go condos. And that's what we're looking for. But understand this, though. There will be martyrs along the way. There's going to be tough times along the way. That's what endurance is about. You endure, the children of Israel endured Egypt, then they were getting the blessing. You see what I mean? They just didn't. Only the ones that were born in there did they get the blessing. So if you're not born in it, there has to be some enduring and an exodus to be able to get to the promised land. That's all I'm saying. Amen? Let's pray.